Connected. Stay informed. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues on Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Good evening. Como News Time 6:02, 61, mostly cloudy in downtown Seattle, and officially the weekend's underway here. That now we're at Friday night. I'm Rick Fansize, Lisa Jaffe with the night off. In the news, several hundred Boeing machinists walking off the job today, protesting the company's vaccine mandate. Como's Jeff Pojla has more from Everett.
Some call the mandates tyranny. Others in the crowd blamed Governor Inslee and President Biden. Now, Boeing has said all of its workers must be vaccinated against COVID-19 by December 8th or risk losing termination. But that didn't deter several hundred anti-vaxxers from rallying outside the union hall today, some of them holding signs promoting disinformation about the vaccines and conspiracy theories about the COVID-19 pandemic. In Everett, Jeff Pojola, Como News.
A local health expert says people who take the COVID vaccine boosters, now in the federal approval process, will have an even bigger role in protecting the community. Ryan Harris explains.
The original primary goal of the COVID vaccines was to keep people out of hospitals and from dying. But UW Medicine's Dr. Ali Mokdad says if that's still the goal, we don't need boosters right now. Mokdad tells me if the goal has changed to reducing infections that can spread, then we definitely need boosters because he says there are so many people in the U.S. still unvaccinated.
So for those of us who are willing to take the vaccine, we're asking them, please go get a booster because we don't want you to be a part of the infection in this community.
Mokdad also says that the mRNA vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna, appear to work well as boosters for any of the vaccines. So he hopes the Fed's next step is to approve that mix of any first vaccine with an mRNA booster. Ryan Harris, Como News.
Ahead of Monday's deadline, the city of Seattle says more than 25 of its city departments have a COVID-19 vaccination rate of at least 95%. As of today, the fire department, 88% vaccinated, police department, 82%. Meantime, the Seattle Department of Transportation, 91% vaccinated, while Seattle City Light and Seattle Public Utilities both at 90%. City of Seattle employees have until October 18th, Monday, to submit records that show they are fully vaccinated or they could face losing their job. 6:04 now, and an update on Como traffic every 10 minutes on the 4s from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here again is Tama Fulton.
Well, some good news in Seattle. That earlier stalled bus on southbound 5 at Northeast 45th Street has been moved from the left lane over to the shoulder. Southbound traffic, though, is very heavy from the U District all the way into downtown Seattle. That's going to add nearly 10 minutes to your drive. Still watching a stall in Seattle on Boren Avenue at Olive Way. That's causing both north and southbound slowing on Boren Avenue. We do have some heavy traffic through the Everett area on northbound 5 from Highway 526 all the way up into Marysville. Southbound 405, very heavy from Northeast 8th Street and downtown Bellevue all the way into Renton. And still watching heavy traffic in both directions of I-5 through the Federal Way and Fife area from Highway 18 to 54th Avenue, 54th Avenue to just about South 375th Street due to an earlier crash. Our next Como traffic at 6:14.
This update on traffic sponsored by Beacon Plumbing, Heating, and Electrical. Call Beacon today and save $50 on all heating and air conditioning. Just call 1-800-FREAKIN' and stop freaking. Call on Beacon. Let's get right over to the Como 4 Weather Center. Here's Shannon.
Well, hi there, everybody. Friday night. Here comes this October weekend. It smells wonderful outside. That cool, crisp fall air. The leaves are just peaking right now. The foliage is just on fire. All the crimsons and golden colors out there. And we've got so many fun activities this weekend, too. Pumpkin patch weather, for most of us, it's definitely better on Saturday. High temps back into the 60s, a big surge of warm air before the rain sinks in over the top of the entire I-5 corridor late Saturday night into Sunday. Much cooler, scattered showers left over on Sunday with highs falling off into the low 50s. In the Como 4 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Shannon O'Donnell.
Still have a little drizzle around the Puget Sound area. We've seen Everett rainy most of the day where it's 54. SeaTac Airport, 59 degrees. Downtown, 61 in Seattle, and in Bellevue, 57, Tacoma, 63. That brings our Como News Time to 6:06, and you're in the middle of 20 minutes of nonstop news on Como. Two coaches from Walla Walla Community College being forced out because they refused to get the COVID vaccine. Como's Carlene Johnson talked to the husband and wife team today about their decision.
Chelsea Spear will coach her last volleyball game at Walla Walla Community College tonight. Forced out because she is not willing to get the COVID vaccine because of her faith and in some disbelief. This is what it has come to.
I've said to people, I would never tell you what's best for you because I don't know what if you were a believer or whatever, God, I don't know what his message is to you. And it could be to take the vaccine for someone that is not my place.
Her husband, Justin Spear, is the college's baseball coach and also devastated to be leaving a job he loves and field he was called to, but determined to stand on his faith.
At the root of it, too, I'm a patriot, and I just don't believe in any type of tyranny. And we live in this country that is the greatest country in the world, and we have free choice. We've had free choice, I guess, and I believe in that for every single person.
The Walla Walla Bulletin reports up to 20 staff members from the college have left or will be this weekend over the vaccine mandate. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
Washington State's prisons and corrections facilities are expected to continue with normal operations after the Monday COVID vaccine deadline for state employees. More than 90% of the Department of Corrections workers have submitted proof of vaccination, with about 500 still outstanding. Assistant Secretary Mike Obenland says that the Clallam Bay Prison and the penitentiary in Walla Walla are on the watch list, but for now they expect any service reductions might be limited to things like a temporary closure of Clallam Bay's hobby shop.
That's a really nice thing to have, if as long as there's everybody available to do that. But if there's not, then we're going to close that area and we'll utilize that staff person to help out in a different area.
Oberland says that while they know they're going to lose employees, including some who've been with the department for a long time, they expect that 500 number to shrink as they get last-minute paperwork submissions. Harborview Medical Center visitors soon will have to show proof of vaccination or a negative COVID-19 test within 3 days of their visit. That new policy taking effect on Tuesday, applying to all inpatient visitors over the age of 12. And it'll start at Harborview, but the policy will soon be implemented at all UW medical hospitals and clinics. And starting on Tuesday, all visitors over the age of 2 will also be required to wear a medical grade or surgical mask to enter any UW medicine or clinic or hospital. Seattle Public Schools set to suspend about 140 bus routes due to a shortage of bus drivers. We have details from Como's Bill O'Neill.
Those reductions will come Monday, which also is the deadline for school district employees statewide to show they are fully vaccinated against COVID-19. That includes bus drivers. Ahead of that deadline, the district explaining its busing plans in a letter sent to parents, calling inconsistent bus service disruptive and saying they're doing their best to make sure students get to and from school safely and on time. Those bus routes that will remain in service will serve students who receive special education services, homeless and foster students, students with disabilities that require bus service, schools that serve a large number of historically underserved students, and schools at interim locations. Bill O'Neill, Como News.
Thank you, Bill. Como News time coming up on 610, and playoff position will be motivation for the Sounders and rain in tomorrow night's soccer matches. More from Como's Bill Swartz in this Beacon Plumbing Sports Update.
Only half a dozen Major League Soccer games to go for Seattle to stay on top of the Western Conference. Without several frontline players, the Sounders offense starting to produce more scoring chances and goals.
Some different looks, just small little adjustments in how we play. Some of those are paying off.
As head coach Brian Schmetzer, he and Seattle take on the Dynamo tomorrow night in Houston. OL rain at Tacoma's Cheney Stadium, facing the Washington Spirit Saturday night. Key Pac-12 football games as well in Pullman and Seattle tomorrow. 3-3 Washington State at 4:30 takes on Stanford. 2-3 Washington with a 5:30 kick against 4-2 UCLA. The Seahawks will not have Russell Wilson or Chris Carson Sunday night when they face the Steelers in Pittsburgh. In fact, both men are on the injured reserve and not available to play until November 14th. Arizona Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury with a positive COVID-19 test. He cannot travel to Cleveland Sunday. And it's game one of the American League Championship Series in Houston tonight. The Astros with a sacrifice fly in the first for a 1-0 lead on Chris Sale in Boston. Sports at 10 and 40 after the hour. Bill Swartz, Como News.
Thank you, Bill. Como News time, 6:11. This is turning into quite a week for space enthusiasts. First, we saw Captain Kirk himself, William Shatner, rocket to the edge of space. And now, NASA embarking upon a mission of deep space exploration. The space probe Lucy, launching tomorrow on a 12-year journey to study some previously unseen asteroids. And Como's Corwin Hake talked about it with NASA Dr. Carly Howitz.
So Lucy is a mission of exploration to visit some asteroids that are located at the same distance from the sun as Jupiter. So they don't orbit Jupiter, but rather they lead and trail Jupiter in its orbit. And these are called Trojan asteroids. They're very small. They're very dark. We've never seen them before. They're hard to see from the Earth because they're small and dark. And this is a mission of exploration, to go and see bodies that we think are unchanged. It's the beginning of the solar system formation. So they're going to help us understand how our own solar system was formed.
And this is not the famous asteroid belt, then, that we all learned about as school children?
It isn't that asteroid belt. So we do fly through that asteroid belt, and we'll be visiting one of those asteroids en route. But our targets are these other asteroids called Trojan asteroids that, like I say, are nearer Jupiter.
And what's special about Trojan asteroids?
The region of space that they're in is very stable. So we think that they've been able to hang out there really since they were formed at the beginning of the solar system. And it's that pristine nature that makes them so special. We're going to do some sort of space archaeology on them. We're going to understand their geology, their composition. You know, anytime you look at rocks on the Earth, you can tell a little bit about the Earth's history. And by understanding these rocks, we're going to understand our solar system's history.
Well, lately the public's attention has been captivated by the sort of celebrity space flight with William Shatner going to the edge of space. How do you grab back the attention from a starstruck public to get them to focus and be excited about this kind of remarkable mission of pure exploration?
Is two very different things. You know, I was excited to see William Shatner go into space. You know, I'm a big space geek. That's how I got into this gig. So definitely seeing him being able to realize that dream of going, you know, where very few people have gone before was truly amazing. I think that is a different type of, you know, something to aspire to. I think little kids always want to be astronauts, right? And that's really great. But I think understanding those deep and complex questions, where do we come from? How are we here? Is something that, you know, we've all thought about as you lay on, you know, under the stars, wondering about where we come from. And it's those, understanding those questions, you know, getting to grips with those questions is where Lucy is truly inspiring. We can answer the deep, fundamental questions, we hope, with this mission.
And that's Dr. Howitt, who says Lucy is named after the remains of a human ancestor uncovered in Ethiopia in 1974. And she's with NASA, and the name reflects the mission's interest in the solar system's evolution. 614, let's get another update on Como traffic. Every 10 minutes on the 4s from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. And here again is Tama Fulton.
Well, we're seeing some very heavy travel between Seattle and Everett on northbound 5. Usually a 31-minute drive. It's 46 minutes right now. That's adding 15 minutes to your normal drive time. We have a stall in Seattle on southbound 5 at 45th Street that's reblocking the left lane now. That's causing a slowdown from northeast 80th Street all the way past that scene into downtown Seattle. In Linwood, watch for a medical emergency northbound on Highway 99. It's just before 148th Street southwest, taking up the left lane. In Mill Creek, a serious crash investigation has 35th Avenue Southeast closed in both directions between Seattle Hill Road and Highway 96. That will continue for some time, so you want to look for an alternate route through that area. And we do have a crash in the Lake City area of Seattle, northeast 125th Street between 35th Avenue Northeast and 32nd Avenue Northeast has one westbound lane open. The eastbound lanes remain blocked. Our next Como traffic at 624.
Let's talk about the weekend weather. We'll kind of split the difference of dry and wet conditions. By tomorrow, we'll have mostly dry weather and mostly cloudy skies too, but highs comfortably into the mid-60s. But by Sunday, that's the day you won't be able to mow the lawn unless you want to get out and get wet, because it's going to be raining most of the day with highs in the mid-50s. And in downtown Seattle now, it's 61.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Good evening. I'm Rick Van Sice. Our editor, Kathy O'Shea. Elisa Jaffe with a day off. In the headlines, a former Boeing employee pleading not guilty to charges of fraud in connection with the development of the 737 MAX. Mark Faulkner made his first appearance in federal court. He was a test pilot. His attorney says that he is being made a scapegoat. On the local scene, several hundred Boeing machinists walking off the job today over the company's vaccine mandate. Boeing says all employees have to be vaccinated against COVID by December 8th or risk losing their jobs. Moderna booster shots got the full support of an FDA advisory panel yesterday, and today it was the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine under the microscope. Alex Stone is covering it for ABC News and talked with Como's Taylor Van Sice.
Alex, what has this panel said about the J&J boosters?
Basically, the FDA panel today saying it does support J&J recipients getting a booster shot 2 months, not the 6 months we've heard about with the other vaccines, but 2 months after getting the vaccine or longer, which is where many people will now be. And So they took their vote not long ago, and it sounded a little something like this.
We do have 19 out of 19 unanimous yes votes.
It was unanimous and much broader than what the panel has supported for Moderna and for Pfizer. With J&J, they're saying anybody over 18 years old who got J&J after 2 months can get that booster shot if they want. Now, here's the thing. The science is a little bit iffy on whether it's needed, but they found no side effects, that it's not going to harm anybody. So saying if you want to go ahead and get the booster shot, then you should be allowed to. Now, it still has to go and get the sign-off from the FDA and the CDC, but the panel is saying that sure, they will support it. Dr. Cody Meisner is on the panel.
It seems like there are a lot of uncertainties at this point, making it hard vote for or against this.
And that's the thing. Whether without a lot of evidence against it, they basically said, why not? Sure, get it if you want it. But we all know the J&J vaccine from the beginning has been less effective than Moderna or Pfizer. But the data they showed today is it may stay more stable and not lose efficacy like some of the mRNA vaccines. So some on the board said from the beginning that the J&J it probably should have been two shots, that maybe we should have looked at this sooner since they're saying 2 months. But their take on it is that the science is kind of all over the board. J&J had some from a small company-sponsored study today that indicated that, yeah, second booster shot will do a lot of good, especially months after, and then it brings up efficacy into the 90% range. So they decided today, yeah, go ahead and go with it. If it'll help everybody, maybe, maybe not, but it's not going to hurt you.
And there was also some promise this week about talking about mixing and matching shots. Did that come up today?
Yeah, they've been discussing that after the vote today, and they're not going to take a vote on it. But that second dose of J&J, there is a belief among some that it should be an mRNA to get something stronger into the body of a J&J recipient. San Francisco General Hospital has been doing that for a long time, even without official guidance to do it. And the doctors are divided on it. There was a small study showing better antibodies for J&J recipients who then got Moderna or Pfizer instead of J&J as their second shot. We asked Dr. Darian Sutton about it. He says the data just not clear.
Although we have new data from the NIH that supports that mixing and matching is beneficial, we have not yet had the full substantial amount of data that people would deem effective or necessary in order to make clinical decisions. So we'll have that discussion, but unfortunately we won't yet see a vote on that.
So they are discussing it. There's probably going to be more debate over it next week. And when the FDA and the CDC make their final decision, they may allow it. They may say no, stick with J&J, but that debate is on right now.
ABC's Alex Stone with us on Como News. Alex, thank you.
And that's Como's Taylor Van Sice. The state of New York signaling today it will appeal a ruling earlier this week about its vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. ABC's Aaron Katursky with more.
The New York Attorney General's office filed notice with the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. It would appeal a ruling from a district court judge in Utica who at least temporarily stopped the state from enforcing the vaccine mandate on health workers who claim a religious objection. The judge's decision said the public interest lies with enforcing the guarantees enshrined in the Constitution. The governor said it was important to protect the requirement, and oral arguments were scheduled for the end of the month.
Como News Time now, 6:20, and we have your Como Propel Insurance Money Update. Here's Jim Chesko.
Stocks notched a third straight positive session, helping the market earn very solid weekly gains in the process, lifted by some well-received earnings news and a surprising increase in September retail sales. Today, the S&P 500 rose 33 points, the NASDAQ Composite stacked on 73, and the Dow Jones Industrials jumped another 382 points. Shares of 23andMe soared today, up 17%. The DNA genetic testing company is rallying after EMJ Capital's Eric Jackson made bullish comments, saying the stock is one of his picks and should be seen as a therapeutics company and a subscription service, which could bode well for future growth. That's your money now.
Catch your money news on Como every hour at 20 and 50 past the hour. And coming up, we will have traffic and weather, and then a photographer who doesn't let colorblindness get in his way.
Como News Radio, winner of the coveted Edward R. Murrow Award for Best Newscast. Breaking news and hard news coverage. Stay connected, stay informed with the Northwest's best. Como News 1000, FM 97.7, and streaming on your smart speaker. If you're